Ephesians chapter 4. It's no secret in this place that I believe in the church local. I believe that the body of Christ is here for a reason. I believe that Christ ascended to the right hand of the Father for a reason. I believe that the Holy Spirit was sent for a reason. I believe that He moves in the lives of those who are not necessarily feeling strong in themselves, but that He works supernaturally through His grace. I started a couple weeks back, before the storm started to come, I talked to you about the giftings of the Holy Spirit within our lives. At that point, I defined it as the power of regifting. And the whole essence of that first sermon was the idea that God pours His grace and He gives to men gifts. And now it becomes our responsibility to give out that which He has given unto us. So I want to begin by showing you this out of Ephesians chapter 4. I'm going to begin in verse 7. But listen to the words of what our responsibility is. If you are a believer in Christ and you believe that the Lord is alive and well, then you will also see what He intends for each one of us as we wait out this glorious hope of redemption that's coming our way. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when He ascended on high, He led captive in His train and gave gifts to men. What does He ascended mean except that He also descended to the lower earthly regions? Let me just simply put it this way. There is no place that has been untouched by Christ's presence in heaven above and earth beneath. He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. It was He who gave some to be apostles and some to be prophets and some to be evangelists and some to be pastors and teachers. Verse 12, listen closely. The responsibility of those gifts given to the church is to prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants. You see, you can believe in Christ and still stay in an infant state. It's not a pretty thing. It's not a pretty thing to have somebody who's known Christ for 15 years, but they're still on pablum, they're still on baby food spiritually. It's not a pretty thing. If I would make it lightened in the way that it would look, you guys might have a problem with me holding my son Aaron in my arms with a bottle in his mouth. It's abnormal, isn't it? It's freakish, isn't it? Well, I'm telling you, those in the body of Christ who have known the Lord, served the Lord, but have not grown, it's that same image. And what happens in many respects is paralysis. That's what happens. Then we will no longer be tossed. Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men and their deceitful schemes. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into Him who is the head, that is Christ. For Him the whole body joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. So I realize I can bring this to the idea of the church local, and I can say this is a body of believers. And my message always to you is I'm not going to give you the sales pitch. Never have any of you ever heard me say, you know what? You need to come to Lapeer Assembly of God because you know what? We are the best thing in this area. I've never said that, nor will I ever say that. There are some beautiful churches in this community with wonderful people and pastors that preach the truth. My encouragement to you is you better know where Christ has apportioned you. You better know where your giftings fit into the church and the body on a local scale. I realize that technology seemingly has made it easier not to belong. Where there are some who would say, and I realize I'm preaching to the choir right now, because the ones that I'm speaking about right now are the ones who aren't here. The ones that believe that this whole church thing can actually happen without intimacy and without relationship and without moving in the power of the Spirit. That you can just do church by watching it on television. You cannot. You can watch what the church is doing, but you certainly cannot participate in what the church is doing. So, truth. The gifts of the Holy Spirit are for every member of the body of Christ. If you believe in Christ, then there is something unique and special that God has intended to do in your life. I wrote down a little definition here about spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts are divinely given abilities offered to every true believer in order to worship God and to serve His church or serve His creation, meaning mankind. To me, that's how I can put it in a nice little package. We are the one charged with carrying on God's program. We are. And I know that I just went through the list of those giftings that God has put within His church. It was He who gave some to be apostles and prophets and evangelists and some to be pastors and teachers. But it was not them and their giftings that were given over to the works, but for the preparation of the works. I'm not trying to get out of responsibility. You know my personal policy. For those of you who have been here, I will never ask you to do something I have not done myself. If I ask you in this church, will you help with shoveling the sidewalks? It's because I've done it myself. I'm not going to ask you to do something that just because I'm above it. But there is a preparation, and I want you to know with all of my heart, I'm not just talking to you about giftings that make us better, Lapeer Assembly of God better. It is not the point at all. There's enough of you that have the gifts that will make this church strong, and there's enough of you who have the gifts that will make West strong. There's enough of the giftings of the body of Christ that are already among us. But there, I also recognize that there are some of you that simply are called into the mission work of where you work or where you serve or where you shop or the family that you're building. I get that the body of Christ is so much broader. And I understand that. So, God has given gifts to leaders and gifts to saints. That's what this whole thing describes to us. But I challenged you with that 3 weeks ago, whenever it was that I preached the first part of this sermon. I asked this question to you. And I specifically worded it this way. Is our church better because you are in it? And let me take it even broader. Is the body of Christ better because you're part of it? How many of you know that you either give or you take? There doesn't seem to be anything that lives in the middle. And in fact, the reality of it is that life is a give-and-take thing. We probably do both. And that's part of the idea of our DNA. But the supernatural component of God's grace is that you cannot give out more than He gives to us. And that's the beauty of what we're talking about. How do we find these gifts? How do we get our gifts? That seems to be a pretty confusing element of today's church culture. I want to talk to you about that a little bit, and I want to take you to Romans chapter 12. And as I've had the opportunity to just kind of live out some of these experiences over the last 30 years and apply certain truths and study certain truths and look at different teachings and all these different things, the beauty of part of my journey with the Lord is I have a tendency to be somewhat of a simpleton. And the reason I put it that way is because I typically bring everything down to a common denominator. And I say it's really not that hard if you just, you know, say do this. Sometimes our minds and our hearts are so filled with religious confusion because we've had this teaching and that teaching and that way that we just kind of sit there numb. We really don't pursue some of these things that are so living and so active and so available in the church. In the third passage that I'm going to bring you to, let's read it together and let's look at some of the components that are in this. Chapter 12, verse 1, "Therefore I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices." This is an urging of the Apostle Paul. He is persuading. He is, if I can say, begging. I can feel my pastoral heart saying the same thing to you guys today. As I don't intend to just stop and preach on every verse, I'm just saying to you what we're addressing here is a very foundational thing. The idea of offering myself as a living sacrifice. What does that really look like? And have I actually even done that? I'm not talking to you, I'm talking to me. I'm looking in the spiritual mirror and saying, Dan Berger, do you really know what it's like to offer yourself as a living sacrifice? And the beautiful thing is, I've described to you already certain vehicles that the Lord has put in my life to practice these things in real time, my marriage being one of them. I find personally that when I do not practice this kind of a spirit and attitude, then I become very quickly selfish and taking. It happens all the time. And yes, I ebb and flow, and sometimes I do it good and other times not so good. Just this past week, I said, I am such a dope. And she agreed. I totally blew it. The neat thing is, at the end of the day, we were both kind of laughing and having a good time, and she can laugh at me being a dope, I guess. But offering your body as a living sacrifice. Listen, holy and pleasing to God, this is your spiritual act of worship. Don't you ever forget this verse. If there's verses that you memorize and you get them deep in your heart, you memorize this one because it is foundational to the journey that I'm talking about. If you want to know how am I going to be effective in God's kingdom, I will always start with this point. This is where it starts. What unfolds is that we offer ourselves in worship. Now let's read this. "Do not conform any longer to the patterns of this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your minds. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." What a place of peace. To know God's will, his perfect will, in every part of your life. He's already told you how to achieve that. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourselves more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, So in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belonging to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. I just want to stop there. For whatever reason, this one in many Christian circles almost seems a little out of place, because it doesn't seem like it's enough to just be an encourager. I'm telling you, it is. If it is a gift from God, then you can in fact be a foundation in the life of so many people to be an encourager. You know how many people... How many of you in 2013 at points in your life were discouraged? Yeah. You know what we need in our lives? Encouragers. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. I want you to see, as I have a thousand times, I feel like try to coax you or prompt you to come into this idea that, in fact, God wants to do a supernatural thing in your life that just does not have to do with just your natural talents. It supersedes that. It's much more than that. In fact, his giftings will purify your talents. Because often it's the talent that becomes the dilemma. I tell people this all the time. If your strong giftings are not sanctified by the Lord, they will become your enemy. They will become a curse, not a blessing. You take somebody who's got a type A leadership kind of personality. You take that personality and let it be unsanctified by the Holy Spirit. Guess what happens? It becomes self-serving. And people become a stepping stone to everything you want to accomplish. You let it be sanctified by a powerful move of God. And all of a sudden, with a saturated humility, what you do is you find yourself serving others and leading them in a place they would not have gone if you were not in their life. Such a vast difference. Such a vast difference between what they can look like. And I'm saying, Lord, just do this work in me. So now he, the Holy Spirit, has a vessel to work. If he finds one who has offered themselves as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God, this is my spiritual act of worship. My whole life begins with this idea that here I am, Lord. I said that 3 weeks ago. It's that simple. Here I am, Lord. I want to teach you something about true worship. I don't know whether you did true worship or not this morning. But there is a litmus test. There is something that you can do to test whether, in fact, it was real or not. And that is, it always leads to service. True worship will always lead you outside of yourself. If it didn't happen, then stop doing what you just did. Did you hear what I said? Well, I was at church, and the pastor told me to stop coming to church. Because I came there and sang songs with them, and he told me that that's not enough. That's not what I said. You will never know or experience your spiritual gifts without worship and without movement. I'm telling you, the worst thing to a spiritual life is no movement at all. God has given us the natural body to amplify this particular truth. The natural body. Any of you who have been bedridden for days, what is the first thing that you start to notice? Isn't it the atrophy of your muscles and stuff and how quickly that happens? It happens so fast. That's why now, remember when people used to have surgery, they'd have them just laid out for weeks, right? But now what do? As soon as that surgery's done, they say, we got to get you moving. We've got to get you moving. We've got to get you moving. Why? Because that's how the body was created. The body was created that when energy is used, it does something else within the body to bring a compensation in a future strength to that. Yes. Yes, that's why Christ, that's why the Holy Spirit used this analogy. Many of you feel a spiritual paralysis. If you feel spiritual paralysis, I'm telling you, it's because you have no spiritual movement. If you're longing for God to work in your life, He will not, He will not, He will not pour out His grace on a sloth. Do you know what a sloth is? Anybody don't know what a sloth is? If you don't know, it's just this stinky, fuzzy creature like a monkey that just hangs around and does nothing. It takes weeks and days to get anywhere, and sometimes they starve to death because they won't go far enough to find food. Their moss grows on their fur because they're too lazy to clean themselves. Okay, whether you didn't take a shower or not this morning is not my point. My point is spiritually, this is what begins to happen. So, I'm telling you, without worship and without movement, you are not going to see the outpouring of the Spirit. Paul cautioned us. He said, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought. What an interesting scripture this is. And I always put an addendum because I believe he wants us to be right in mind in thinking as to where we stand in the body of Christ. Don't think of yourself more highly than you ought. It doesn't mean that I can't think of myself highly, because the only reason Dan Berger thinks of himself highly is because of this magnificent Lord that is in my life. And guess what? He chose me. I didn't choose him. He came to me. Why? Because I had value to him. And now that I recognize that, I want to show my gratitude by offering myself to him. Outside the church, you might be a big deal. You might have a magnificent job and you might be in charge of many people. But the beautiful thing about the church is that at the base of the cross, the ground is level. And I got to tell you, that's one thing I love so much about this body of people. Because I know occupations, I know living conditions, I know a lot about the church that I pastor. And what I love to watch is on Sunday morning when we pull in this parking lot and when we come into this building, there is such a beautiful thing that happens. It doesn't matter what your status is. It doesn't matter what your paycheck was. It doesn't matter whether you're a big I or a little you. It doesn't matter. When we come into this place, none of that made a difference, did it, while we were worshiping? Not one bit. We didn't reserve seating for those who make 200,000 plus. We didn't say that if you're unemployed or not finding a job right now, you need to sit in the back. If you are not a leader of any people at all, we want you to stay back there in the hallway. If you are a dynamic personality, then we need you right up front or on the platform. That's not the way it looks, does it? That's the beauty of the cross, is it puts us all on the same level. It doesn't matter who you are or where you come from. We're all the same. sinners saved by God's powerful, magnificent grace. So I thank God often for many of you. Some of our congregation, some of our people in this church who have the greatest influence out there in the world are some of the greatest servants in our body. Some of the people in this church that have such an impact on so many people out there and influences, they come into this place and all they want to do is worship the Lord and serve others. It's just a beautiful thing to behold. I love being part of the church. I found a quote by Tony Evans. Tony Evans is, I think, out of Texas, is where his church is. Pastors a large church. He goes around and speaks, and he also is an author as well. But listen to one of the things that he said. And I want you to listen close to this, because let's just absorb whether this is the truth or not. Tony Evans, he said, members who refuse to serve and thus fail to see the Spirit exercise his power for the benefit of the whole body are cancer in the church. Receiving the benefits without incurring any responsibility at all. Wow. That's heavy stuff, isn't it? And one of the things I said to you several weeks back is, I'm telling you, you use it or you will lose it. If you do not function in what the Spirit has created you to do and to be and to enjoy the gifts that He wants to place upon your life, they will dissolve over time. You will see a waning away, and there will be a spiritual weakness that will continue. But let me tell you, I have never seen the body of Christ lack. So what's up with that? What's up with that is, if you won't do it, He will anoint somebody else to take your place. Happens all the time. I don't want that to be the case here. Those of you who have been through our Apex class, you know that this is our message, that you are here because God has called you here, and you have a responsibility that God has placed upon your life. How does this happen? How does this discovery happen? I'm not going to take a lot more time, because I might stay on this subject. We'll see how the Lord leads. But I do want you to take away something this morning. How do I discover my spiritual gift? And let me tell you, with all due respect to those in the church who have really worked hard, genuinely worked hard, to help us to find out what our spiritual gifts are. I've taken spiritual gift inventories. I've taken spiritual gift tests. Okay. Having said that, in hoping that there's some validation or some validity to some of that, do not put the cart before the horse. I want to make this simple for you. Not because I think you're simple, but because I am. I want to make this as simple as I possibly can. If, in fact, you want to live in the power of the Holy Spirit, and if you want to see the supernatural work of God's grace work in your life, then it's not going to happen just because you take a spiritual gift inventory. You see, the church is too vast to put us all in these little categories and boxes. There's such a variation in the way that the Spirit moves in each one of our lives that's unique to anything else. I realize that there's common things. I realize that there's common things in the body. I realize that there's bundles of people that are strong in service. I realize that there's some who are strong in leadership. But you notice that even here, even in this church, among our teachers, they all have a distinctive style. They all have a distinctive personality. They all have a distinctive way of taking the same truth and just transferring it to those who are hearing. It's an amazing thing to watch. I just love being part of what I see the Lord doing. So how do we do this? with all respect of those who do spiritual gift inventory, I'm telling you, you are not going to find your gift with a test. You are going to find your gift with a sacrifice. Through a genuine worship and service in movement, it begins on a moment like today when somebody's in church and all of a sudden they say, you know what? I just heard what Pastor Dan just said to us, and I have not been a good worshiper of the Lord. So I offer myself to you, Lord, and I will worship you without restraint. I'm telling you, something real is going to start to happen in your life. This is my experience. The Holy Spirit always empowers moving targets. He's really impressive in how he can hit a moving target. It's the truth. It is the truth. Paul said, I will show you my faith by what I do. That's where it starts to come. Spiritual gifts are a sovereign addition to my life. But I have to be moving. I have to be worshiping. I have to make a decision to do something in faith. That's when you'll start to see this kind of activity happen in your life. If you just come and sit in church week after week after week and just sit there and say, God, just do this thing to me, you're going to sit for a long time. And sad to say, you're probably going to grow spiritually discouraged. The powerful things that happen in the kingdom of God are faith-based. They are based on the fact that somebody believes that he is, and we believe that he should be worshiped, and in that worship, it moves us to do something. And in that choice of movement, all of a sudden, he starts to pour out his giftings on those who would believe. The parable of the talent plays this out. What did he call the individual that took their talent and just buried it and did nothing? You wicked and lazy servant. That was the definition. And then he said to his servants, take the one from the one who did nothing and give it to the one who has 10. That's what it looks like. As much as I want to just keep going, I want you to know that this is not just a New Testament concept. I want you to look at the life of Moses. Moses was raised in Egypt. He had all the tools. He had all the capabilities of Egyptian power. He had the education. My guess is in terms of leadership and structure and all those things. But as he stood before the burning bush of God and God called him to something, what was his response? Do you remember? Here am I, send him. Right? And some would say, well, the reason is because he said that he doesn't speak well, you know, and that maybe Moses stuttered. Did you know that the Bible doesn't play that out? As far as being an Egyptian, he was well educated and well spoken. The word tells us that. The dilemma he was dealing with was he was not raised with his people. And he didn't know their language. And he didn't know their hearts. And he didn't know their condition. That's where he stumbled. And so he's saying to God, send somebody who's lived with these people. And God says to Moses, allow me a little latitude for... God says to Moses, if you were capable, I can't use you. Because because then you would take my glory. You see how it fits? David, all the stories that we read about all the time. He tries to put on Saul's armor. They try to put Saul's armor on him. It's cumbersome. It doesn't work. It doesn't fit. It's not who I am. And so he defeats an entire army with one stone. That is the supernatural power of God. I'm saying, where is that level of faith in God's people now? Young people, I'm telling you, God wants to use you. He wants to use you. And stop trying to be like somebody else. Stop trying to emulate somebody else's gift style. Just find yourself in worship and in service. Just put those two words in your heart. Worship and service. Worship and service. Worship and service. You worship Him first and you serve others. You worship and you serve. And watch how God will refine who you are. And signs and wonders will follow behind you. I'm telling you, that's the way it works. It's a beautiful experience in the Lord. This is the way we have to be in these last days. Many of you are trying to figure out what your place is in this world. I get that. It ain't going to happen by worldly measures. You'll always be frustrated. But if you will give the Holy Spirit that level of access to you, I promise you that you will be different. You will be different. Make a decision today. Make a decision today to let this day truly be a day that is honoring to the Lord. Decide this right here. Decide today that you are going to worship the Lord throughout the day. Even in the relationships and the activities of life. Just make a decision today that you're going to just have a worshipful spirit towards Him. A sense of gratitude and thankfulness. The second component to that worship is offering yourself as a living sacrifice. And I'm saying by the time you get to Monday, when you have to be a witness to those who are lost in the workplace, you will be a different person already to some degree. And if you do that day in and day out for 30 days, you're starting to get a transformation because you're starting to take on different habits in your own life. I'm telling you, this is the real deal. Amen? To those of you who have tried it and tested these things, it's the truth. Here's the beautiful part of the end of the story. Is you will get to Monday night and you will go, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you were able to use me in a world such as this. And you will lay your head down at night and you will feel such a deep level of rest because you finally feel like you've done something for His kingdom. It's real. The question is, how many really want it? Let's pray. Father in heaven, we glorify you in this place. We look with great anticipation for the coming of our Savior, Lord Jesus Christ. I believe that there is an anticipation that rises up in each one of our hearts. Oh, I know that there's this quickening that's happening. And there's some who are desperately asking you, please, Lord, use me in these last days. But I'm asking, Lord, according to your direction today, that you will cause us, Lord, help us, show us how we should worship you in spirit and in truth. And also, Lord, that we would find ourselves set aside for the love and the service of those who are around us. Set us free from ourselves, Lord. Set us free from the bondage of selfishness. Set us free from that bondage of serving everything or doing everything to gain something for myself. And instead of offering, we will offer ourselves as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto you. which is our reasonable act of worship. We will no longer be conformed to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our minds, that we would be able to test that good and pleasing and perfect will that you have for each one of us. And corporately, we will stand in opposition of the things that this world is doing. And we will be salt and we will be light until the trumpet sounds. We love you, we praise you in the glorious and wonderful name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Amen. I know I usually send you off with song and singing, but I'm going to say you sing a song to one another as you leave this place. God bless you and love on one another in Jesus' name.